determining appropriate facility type. Decisions regarding the appropriate number of facilities must also consider facility type. Discussion elsewhere includes a calculation for determining whether it makes economic sense to add a consolidation or break bulk center at the start or end of a journey by comparing it to, for example, the cost of direct shipment. The results of this calculation will indicate which facilities need to be consolidation or break bulk centers. Similarly, location analyses are used to determine where to put fulfillment warehouses. The industry and the types of goods will dictate whether specialty types, such as refrigerated or high-security warehouses, are needed. Once the list is narrowed down to what is viable, consider the pros and cons of each alternative. Proximity. The location of a logistics facility may determine its appropriate type. Facilities located near raw material sources may be used to store raw materials needing further processing or awaiting distribution. Those near production facilities exist to support production. Raw material inputs, semi-finished materials awaiting processing, or finished goods awaiting distribution. Facilities located near ports or other terminals may be used for consolidation. Facilities located near markets may be used to break bulk, cross-dock, or otherwise support efficient distribution. There are also industry clusters, and proximity to them could be used to ensure proximity to both suppliers and B2B customers located in the same region, as is the case in California's Silicon Valley for high-tech firms, in San Francisco for pharmaceuticals, or in Germany for car manufacturing. Proximity to markets is also a sustainability element, as the length of a supply chain impacts its carbon footprint. When considering whether to locate production facilities close to sources of supply or close to markets, one consideration is whether the product is considered a weight-losing or weight-gaining product. For example, it takes about 6 pounds of sugar beets to make 1 pound of sugar, so this is a weight-losing product. Weight-losing products are best processed near the source of supply to save on transportation costs. Materials that have a lot of water added tend to be weight-gaining, and these are often best manufactured near the source of demand. Proximity to either suppliers or customers, or both, with near sourcing, will rise and fall in importance along with oil prices. When oil prices peaked at about US$161 per barrel in 2008, adjusted for inflation, transportation costs were likewise very high and near sourcing was very popular. In 2024, oil prices were moderate, at about US$82 per barrel, which reduces the priority placed on proximity. However, it is overall price volatility that needs to be foremost in long-term decisions. In 2022 and 2023, there were spikes in diesel prices, for example. By the time a network is leased or constructed and running, oil prices or driver wages could be very different from when construction began. For this reason, near sourcing continues to be popular, even in periods of relatively inexpensive transportation. Proximity to customers can be mapped and expressed in terms of transit lead time or cycle time for average service levels. For example, Chicago Consulting mapped out the best locations for distribution networks in China, placing a 1DC network in Xinjiang due to its central location. This location had a 3.38 average transit lead time in days for the average Chinese customer. 2DCS brought the average down to 2.55 days, and 5DCS brought it to 1.65 days. A side point is that this network did not list Xinjiang as an ideal location for anything other than a 1DC operation. This is because, for example, the best cities would be in regional quadrants for a 4DC operation. This means that if you start with just one, you may need to abandon that facility if you later want a larger set that is optimally positioned. Proximity to customers can also shift over time as demographics change. Certain regions of a country can grow in population while others shrink or remain the same. Populations can be young or old on average, and this can influence their buying behavior. The organization's customer segments may be larger in some areas than in others, and they can shift over time. Organizations that have operated in a given region for decades may need to reassess both overall demographics as well as their customers' demographics prior to making new location decisions. Organizations wanting to enter into new markets in previously untapped countries will need to do even more research on potential customers and potential competitors prior to selecting overseas locations. These new locations might also need new sources of supply if the existing sources would be uneconomical compared to local suppliers. Specialty types. Specialized logistics might need its own network or might share resources to some degree. Storage and materials handling of dangerous goods. hazmat, require segregation and special protocols, for example. Reverse logistics centers will be part of a reverse distribution channel. These types of networks must be designed separately from the forward network due to their special needs. That being said, in some cases, a warehouse might have an area for reverse logistics, while the rest of the warehouse is used for the forward supply chain. In these cases, the facility needs to be planned with this extra required space in mind so that the forward and reverse operations avoid becoming bottlenecks to each other. Similarly, if a cold chain is needed, a decision point might be whether to have a cold zone in a facility versus a dedicated cold facility. Cold storage areas have specific foundation requirements due to the increased thickness of floors and walls, and it is extremely costly to make alterations if these facilities are not sized appropriately from the start. Space for employee changing rooms and so on also needs to be accounted for. Considering viable alternatives, what remains is to select among equally viable alternatives for a given warehouse. For example, this could be deciding when a cross-docking center can be used to immediately sort goods for their next destination in place of a fulfillment, consolidation, or break bulk center where goods may be at rest for longer. The organization's type of distribution network, as well as the maturity level of its partnerships with suppliers and customers, will help make this determination. Distribution networks that resupply retail sources are generally better for cross-docking than for direct fulfillment to customers, where a fulfillment center makes more sense. Even when the network type may suggest cross-docking, successfully implementing cross-docking requires close timing of deliveries and shipments, so it can be used only when communications are robust or automated, and when the suppliers have been selected for their reliability and elimination of variability.